Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
How cool is it that we get to show movies in church? I'm sitting here like, this is just fantastic. This morning our movie is The Polar Express. Anybody see that movie? Seen The Polar Express? It's a good family movie. If you have your Bibles, turn me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I'll tie the movie in. We'll tie the movie in. I'll give you a little bit of context. Last week we talked about, we did The Grinch. We talked about the baggage in our life. And I was sharing with you all last week, if you were here, if this is your first time, welcome. If this is your second time back, or maybe you've been away for a while, last week, listen to the podcast. It was life-giving in my view. But we talked about carrying baggage. Sometimes we carry things that God never allow. And I just related to a story of me in Cuba, how me carrying extra baggage slowed down not only myself, but also the group that I was with. And I felt like the Lord really didn't want me to focus on the movie last week. He just wanted me to focus on challenging us to not carry the baggage into next year. And as I was praying about this movie, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying the same sort of thing for this. And so I'm going to show us, we're going to have two movie clips today. The first one is what you saw, and the last one will be at the end. I'm going to spend most of my time in the middle because I want to download to you what I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to share to you about faith. Everybody say faith. But here's the thing. This is not the faith that will get you a new house. Are you with me? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the faith that politicians talk about when we want to know if they have faith. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that sort of faith. I'm talking about the faith that is who we are in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? I want you to stay tuned in with me if you can. Because this is not for entertainment purposes. I said that last week. I feel like going into a new decade, you don't want to play a game as if it's a new year. Are you with me? This is a new decade. You set the tone for the decade. You set the tone for the decade. This is not a new year. We have opportunities to play around with the year. It's 2013. Okay. Woo! We got time. No, this is 2020. If you look at it based on, and I was telling this to the team earlier, if you look at it based on sheer 2020, if you and I were to go to the eye doctor, 2020 is the base level that we want to be to have clear vision. Are you with me? So that means, and I'm not speaking prophetically, but if I just look at the numbers, 2020 for you can be a year of clarity. But here's the thing. You play a role in it too. If I sit too close to the TV, it messes with my vision. If I read too late at night and I don't have a light, it messes with my vision. So my challenge, as we were last week and also this week, is I don't want to preach. I don't want to motivate you. I'm after real life change. I said that last week. Here's the reason why. Is because I believe we've been sitting on the edge and just watching, and we've been cool with it. And as a pastor, my responsibility is to preach Jesus to you. But I feel like sometimes as a pastor, and I'm being pastored, I feel like we can sit and hear and we can study, but we never go as far as it will take for us to see our lives be life-changing agents. Are you with me? And so this morning, I want your spirit to be connected to the Spirit of God, because 2020 can be the year that you've always wanted to be. But it could also be the same with the decade. And so the first clip that we showed you is about, it's a young boy who lives in doubt. If you look at the beginning part of the movie, he has told his sister. Now, for those of us who are religious, this is not about Santa Claus, but we're just going to talk about him since he's in the movie. He has told his sister that Santa Claus doesn't exist. And he's taken every element away because his faith doesn't believe in Santa anymore. He has seen some imposters and determined that Santa does not exist. Sometimes in our walk with God, we've seen imposters posing as Christians. And that causes us to not want that Jesus that we hear some others talk about. So then, since we see the imposters who look the part but aren't really walking with God, we tell ourselves, he ain't real. Y'all all right? Josiah got me amped this morning. That hip hop, you can't just stay calm. Sorry. It's not gangster though. That was, but gangster, I'd be like, ah, the Lord's head. No, look. Listen. There are imposters, and maybe we've all played the part. There are apostles that do certain things, say certain things, and there are people who preach like me who are also imposters. So they're all around us. It's not just the non-preaching person. It's also some preachers as well. We pose as imposters and things happen, and then we say, I don't want anything with that Jesus. And so what happens is we begin to tell others about, I don't really know if you want to be a part of that because that's not real. And so we have a boy who is doubting the reality of Santa. So many times I've met people, and there are people in the church who were once walking with God. Something happens, and they doubt whether he still heals. They doubt whether tithing still works. They doubt whether their prayer life really matters. We doubt whether spending time with God will really produce anything. And so what happens is we live in a season of doubt. I'm coming at your faith today, not the faith to get you a new house, a new car, an increase on your job. I'm talking about the faith that is in Jesus Christ and him alone. Are you with me this morning? So we have imposters that sometimes pose as us, and then sometimes because of the behavior, the attitudes, the things that we see or the things that they say, and so, or maybe it's our faith, and it feels like we haven't seen what God has promised us, and so we say, I want nothing to do with that. So this little boy in the movie tells his sister, Santa ain't real. She goes to bed, and she tells mom and dad, she's like, but Billy, I don't know his name, Christopher, I think it is in the movie, she says, Santa's not real. And mom and dad have to come in and say, oh no, your brother must be mistaken. Little man lays down, and if you go throughout the story, I don't want to ruin it for you, but he's falling kind of asleep. And as he's approaching this train in his dream, it appears to me that the conductor has been waiting for him. And the conductor says, is this your name? You seem to have no belief in Santa. You've taken down the things that would build your faith. No stockings. You've hid those in the pictures. And now you're beginning to tell everyone else that this Santa doesn't exist. And he looks at him, he says, I think this is the perfect time for you to get on the train. Can I tell you this morning, City Place, I feel like this is the perfect time for you to decide whether your faith is going to be in Jesus and Jesus alone, and your actions will align. You are at the end of a decade. More than ever before, I think you need to be on the train. It's my assignment today to be the conductor and to get you on the train. By the end of the service, it'll be your choice whether you ride on the train or not. The boy has a moment where he goes, I'm not going. And then as the train begins to move, he decides that he wants to hop on. I love the fact that when he decides to hop on, the conductor was like, I knew you'd come. This morning, you walked into Jesus' house, and you didn't come in here by accident. Can I ask us as we pray to play no religious games? I'm actually going to have you repeat a prayer after me this morning. Because I can pray. But I want your heart to receive what the Father has for you today, because you're going into a year that just by number alone is clarity. Do you want to see it or not? If you do, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father God, I'm here. I don't want to play games. I want to meet you in my reality. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like there could be some faith up in here this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. That's easy for him to say, you know what I mean? For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Joseph. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. Everybody say forever. Jesus is still king, y'all. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel in verse 34, but how can this happen since I am a virgin? The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, you're not the only one that's going to experience the reality of God. That's me just adding, just so y'all know. Verse 36, what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For with God, no word will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Movie clip, the little boy living in a little bit of a doubt moment, runs into a conductor, and the conductor says, hey, you need to be on this train. The little boy finally goes on the train. Set that aside. We'll come back to that. Luke chapter 1, we find a little girl. She's not little, but she's young. Her name is Mary. And the Bible says that an angel out of nowhere comes and says, what's up? Don't be afraid. I'm from the Lord, and I just want to tell you that you're highly favored. I want to tell you that God has seen every bit of you. You are loved by him. You are highly favored. And then he says, don't be afraid. Don't be disturbed. What I'm about to tell you is from the Lord himself. He says this to her. He says, you're pregnant. Surprise. But don't be afraid. You're pregnant. But you're not pregnant with just any child. You're pregnant with the one who's going to change the world. Says, now, you might think that this might be impossible because I heard you say that you haven't known a man yet. I want you to know that this is coming from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will empower you to be able to carry this baby. Can I tell you what caught me off guard? And this is what sometimes happens. The Bible says that the angel showed up on the scene and he said, don't be afraid. Here's what I realized when it comes to our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, not the faith for the house or the car or anything, that seeing is not always believing. Seeing is not always believing. I know that's hard to hear sometimes because we say, if I see it, I'll believe it. Not really. An angel from heaven comes and begins to speak life to her, and she's immediately like, what you doing here? I've never seen you before. I'm a little bit nervous. Seeing is not always believing. We have a tendency to believe that if we see the tangible thing that we will always believe. But how many times have we seen God do something in our life and we still revert back to doubt when the next test comes? That leads me to believe that seeing is not believing. Seeing is not believing. Seeing is the beginning stages of what will keep me believing. But seeing is not believing. Let me prove it to you just in case you doubted what I was saying. Doubt. John chapter 9, verse 8 says, his neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each of them, is this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, I am the same man. In John chapter 9, the Bible healed a man the Bible describes as blind and was a beggar. The Bible says that Jesus spit on the ground, pow, grabbed up the mud, rubbed it on the guy's eyes. The guy began to see. He ran home and was like, hey, I can see y'all. And when he told him, I can see y'all, everybody's like, that ain't him. That ain't him. It looked like him, that's not him. And he goes, no, it's me. That ain't him. Nope, that ain't him. They talk amongst themselves. It look like him, but you know that ain't him. See, seeing ain't always believing. Watch this. It gets even worse. He goes home to his family. And his family asks him, you read the story in John chapter 9. His family asks him, who did this to you? Read it. He goes, this man, he spit on the ground. He healed my eyes. Who did this to you? I don't really know what happened. The Pharisees come to his house and was like, hey, mom and dad, ignore him. Hey, mom and dad, we hear that this boy was healed. Is this your son? Yes, this is my son. We have no clue what happened to him. Finally, mom and dad get so frustrated that they keep asking them because they don't believe him that they go, listen, just talk to the boy himself. The Pharisees talk to the boy and still don't believe the boy. They finally come up to where the boy is like, listen, I don't know what you want to call this man. What I do know is that I was once blind, but now I see. I can hear the guy going, I'm standing right in front of your face. You're listening to my story. You're seeing me, and you still don't believe. Seeing is not always believing, ladies and gentlemen. We're praying and we're believing God. God, do this. God, do that. And I wonder if we're praying, but we really don't believe. If we're praying, is our prayer lined up with Jesus himself? Are we more about the prayer request? Or are we more about having an encounter with God to learn more about Jesus and who he is? Am I praying for the miracle? Or am I praying, Jesus, show me a little bit more of who you are? Because I can either pray to get the request and then I'll move on to the next thing because I probably will doubt him if there's a delay. Or I can pray to the healer. I want to have an encounter with the healer because I haven't discovered you in this way yet. Are y'all with me? I have a need to be healed, but I want to know you as the healer because I'm going to have something else on my list. But if I don't know you as the healer, I'm going to live in doubt because seeing ain't always believing. How many of us have prayer requests on our list right now? Let me see your hand. How many of y'all, if you'll be honest, would say you've wondered if they would be answered? How many of y'all would say that you have a history of Jesus answering some of your prayers? Uh-huh. Seeing ain't always believing. Here's the second thing that I realized, and you can write it down in your notes, is that everyone has doubts. Mary says, okay, that sounds good, and I'm glad you're here. But I'm not sure this is going to take place because I'm not married yet. So it sounds good, and I'm glad that he's going to change the world. But I don't know Joe like that yet. So we need a little bit more explanation. See, everyone has doubts. The little boy, you need to take this step. No. I'm not going right now. Everyone has doubts. See, seeing is not always believing. Everyone has doubts. And then I wrote this down. The thing is that we might have doubts, but we can't let doubt turn to fear. We can't let doubt turn to fear. The angel right away goes, don't be afraid. Let me squash this right now. I understand you might have doubts about what I just told you, but let me squash that. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Let me push that aside because if your doubt becomes fear, you're stuck. And then you begin to live on a religious basis. God doesn't do that. I don't know if I believe him. This is taking too long. I don't know if I believe him. I'm not seeing this. I don't know if I believe him. This morning, I'm coming for your faith and your commitment to Jesus and him alone. Here's what I wrote down because I'm not talking about just being afraid. I'm talking about going after Jesus 100%, going all in, which we could live in a place of rejection, fear of rejection, fear of work, fear of losing control of my life if I give Jesus my life, fear of criticism from others because I'm a Christian. I don't know if I can live that bold They may call me too holy. I might not fit in. I might not be relevant. So we live in fear. We can have doubts of what me going all in may look like. I just can't live in fear of what others will think. See, as we go into a new decade, you and I will have to decide if we're going to get off the edge. We can't worry about what people think. We can't worry about the time that I would lose because I'm spending more time in his presence. We can't worry about what the criticism would be if I say I stand for Jesus and him alone. Everyone has doubts. We just can't let it turn to fear. Write this down. Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the angel also decides that he's going to visit Joe. He visits Mary. He visits Joe. Joseph, by the way. Shortened it down. He visits Joseph, and this is what the angel has a dialogue with Joseph. He's repeating it to Joseph the same way he repeated it to Mary. But I want you to see Joseph's fear step in on this one. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. See, if we don't let doubt become fear, we go all in with Jesus and him alone. Mary goes, oh no, don't know if this can happen. Joe's like, if this girl is pregnant, there's no way that I'm going to allow her to face criticism. And there's no way I'm going to face criticism. I'm about to call her up and tell her this is through. And all of this had to do with going in on Jesus. If they say yes, they're going all in on Jesus. They're risking the criticism. They're risking livelihood. They're risking the gossip of what have they done. The story can't be true. But they decide that they're going to go all in on Jesus and give him everything. Not just a day, but they decided to give him his life. The essence of my faith is belief in action. The essence of my faith is belief in action. Mary says, okay, I'm your servant. I've given everything over to you. Everything that you've told me, let's do it. She said it more like this. Be it unto me according to your will. See, the essence of my faith is belief in action. I'm a Christian. Well, what does my walk look like? What will this next decade look like in your walk with the Lord? How passionate will we be about giving him everything? Mary and Joe decided we're going to risk it all for Jesus and Jesus alone. The essence of my faith is belief in action. Second thing, authentic faith is displayed best when my words and my actions align. Authentic faith is displayed best when my words and my actions align. Alive, be it unto me according to your will. See, when you watch the movie from the first clip to this last clip, he hops on the train, and while he's going through trying to get to the North Pole, there are some bumpy moments that test his faith. They get off the track, and then they have to get back on. But he's decided that he's going to go all the way. And as they're talking about this bell that when they hear that ring, it can increase kind of the faith. And so he has this moment where he decides, I've gotten this far, and I realize now I believe. I don't know if you can see it. He was like, I can't see him. I'm hearing about him, but I can't see him. And he just decides to push his way all the way up to the front to where he can get his own perspective. And then he finally confesses, I believe. I believe, and I am not going to sit back and worry what anybody else thinks. I believe. And as soon as he said, I believe, Santa showed up. Can I tell you, Santa aside, I believe that if you position your heart that I'm going all in, that you have that moment where the angel was talking to Mary and says, you're not doing this by yourself. Says that the Holy Spirit, this is how I saw it. Aaron, can I borrow you, man? Can I steal you? This is how I felt like the Lord was just saying, I go all in. And the Lord says that I'm going to cover every aspect of you. Because he says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And he doesn't leave it there. Sorry, man. Then he says the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Now, my perspective was one way. But the Holy Spirit comes upon me. And then the Holy Spirit overshadows. See, there might be times that I might feel like I want to go back, but the Holy Spirit begins to block it. Only if I'm going all in. If I don't go all in, I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work anyway. But if I go all in, God the Father says, don't be afraid. I'll deal with that, because everybody has doubts. And seeing sometimes is not always believing. I understand that. Don't let your doubt turn to fear, Mary, he says. And then if your actions align, then your faith will rise. I just said that. But the Holy Spirit will make sure that this next decade is filled with you just walking with God himself. And so that Jesus can be your primary focus. See, this morning, thanks, man. This morning you walked into the building and I had a question that I wanted to ask you. This is a little harsh, so please forgive me. Are we ready to stop playing our Christian life so safe? Because it's one thing to live in doubt like little man was doing in the movie. It's another thing to go, I believe. He wasn't worried about the gifts that Santa had. He was like, I believe in Santa. I'm wondering if you would say, I need to believe. I need to go all in. I need to get up out of my house, hop on the train, and nestle to the place until I find Jesus. You and I, we have to make this decision in this next decade. If we're going to continue to play it safe, I felt like the Lord was telling me that there's so many of us in this room, we play it safe and we're comfortable with that because of fear of criticism, fear of what we have to give up. Because if I go all in on Jesus, then I have to give up this thing that feels good to me. I have to change my attitude. I have to change this behavior. Well, hey, that's part of who he is. He's going to change us. If we go all in, we have to let him. I'm not going to do it. He will. We have to. In order to experience all of him, we have to go all in. Well, I'm in control of my own money. Okay. But can you give it all to him? Give him a shot. I'm in control of my life. I make my own decisions. Will you at least give him a chance to have a response? What if we go all in this next decade and risk it all and say, I believe? What do we stop playing it safe? I'm as a pastor, I'm reading studies, and the studies right now for young leaders, the millennials under 30, they're leaving church at the fastest rate possible in any other generation. And coming into a church environment, I'm not trying to convict you. Right now, when I grew up, church was like everything. I'm missing Redskin games. I'm missing everything for church. Right now, one in four weeks, we all live busy lives. We get that. I'm not trying to convict you to come to church. What I'm saying is on those weeks when we may not be in God's house, he has got to be with us wherever we go. Like, we can't just be on vacay and leave him and be like, this is my time. All I'm challenging us is in 2020 and the next decade, what if he became everything? What if we were like Mary? Be it unto me according to your will. I want Jesus and Jesus alone. He has been the promise since time began. If Jesus is going to be in my life, consume me. Jesus, lead me. Let the Holy Spirit overtake me. Let the Holy Spirit empower me. Nothing safe anymore. I believe. And if my behavior has to change, if my speech has to change, if my dreams have to change, if my life has to change, I have to be who you created me to be. If you tell me I'm favored, and if you're going to deal with my fear, and if you're going to give me strategy all around me, the least I can do is give you a chance. The least I can do is give you a chance. The thing is I don't know what it'll produce, but it's worth a shot. You've already given your most important thing, your life. You said yes. You did that part. Now give him everything else that you and I try to control. It's a new decade, ladies and gentlemen. Last year we dealt with the baggage of yesterday. Today I'm asking you, as pastor of City Place Church, for those of you who call City Place home as your pastor, I'm asking you to take a journey with me next year, to go all in. No more games of this is mine. What if he became it all? I was telling the men yesterday, because the men got together for breakfast, and we did what men do. We did what men do. We worshiped. Our breakfast turned to worship yesterday. And the men were singing and crying out to God. That's all you get to know. But we were crying out to God, and we were just before the Lord, because we said we're not going to play it safe. The men just said, we're going there. In this breakfast, in a public place, we were just like, boom, here you go. Because this last decade ain't good enough. It's not good enough. I want to challenge you to go all in. Don't pull anything back and say he can't have that. You know what it is? I don't really know. I'm just challenging us to give him everything. Here's a question that I had. What if we gave God the desire of his heart for this next decade? We ask him for a lot, but what if we gave God the desire of his heart? I have a list for days. I've got vision for days. But what if I gave God, for at least a year, the desire of his heart? What if I gave him all of me? If my words and my actions align, what if I give him my words, my actions, and my heart? And I give him my faith. Not the faith for the stuff, but my faith is in Jesus, and Jesus alone.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.